Open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's begin reading at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. Perhaps we'll not conclude the scriptures that I've read this morning, because there are many things that I have to share with you from the Word of God concerning the day of the Lord. We have noticed in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians that the people at Thessalonica, a church of the living God, had problems understanding the relationship of their dead to the coming or the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul explains to them what will happen to the dead and what will happen to the living when Jesus comes again. This is adequately set forth and established in chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. The obvious question, after Paul has explained the relationship of the dead saved to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, is when is this going to happen? When is Jesus Christ going to return to this earth? When will the dead in Christ be raised? And when will the living saved be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye? What are the signs of his coming? The Bible tells us that these people knew what to look for in reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. You'll notice in verses 1 and 2 that Paul said, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Why didn't they need a written revelation? Because Paul tells them in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. They had a perfect understanding of the signs and of the seasons of the coming of the Lord. They also understood perfectly. There was not any misunderstanding. They understood perfectly that the day of the Lord would come as a thief in the night. When Paul said, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, we understand that he makes a distinction between these two words, times and seasons. The word that's translated times is a word that means a duration of time. So Paul is saying, brethren, you understand the duration of time. He then uses the word seasons. And this word not only has in it the idea of duration of time, but it also has in it the idea of the characteristics of the time. We might say that the word that's translated times, chronoi, means hours, minutes, days, years, the actual duration or measurement of time. While the word karoi is a word that means the particular characteristics of an age, things that are a part of the time that is occurring. We might say that the season, such as we're involved in now, the fall season, the coming winter season, the falling of the leaves, the frosting that we had this morning, that these are signs of the time. Paul says, you people are perfectly informed concerning the duration of time and the characteristics of the age that are going to occur. We might translate them the eras and the crises. You understand the passing of time. You understand the particular crises that are going to happen prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what revelation had these people had concerning the times and the seasons? Well, I think we must conclude that these people had been taught what Jesus had taught his disciples, what he had revealed to his apostles, that Paul had not taught them information that had not already been revealed or given. So I think in order to know what the Thessalonians knew, we'll have to go back to the Gospels and determine what Jesus revealed to his disciples and the apostles in regard to his coming again. And I think the fullest revelation of these facts and these dates and these characteristics of the seasons and the times are found in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Let's look now at Matthew chapter 24, and you'll notice verse 3. Jesus was asked, as he was on the Mount of Olives by his disciples, they came to him privately, and they said, tell us, this is verse 3 of Matthew chapter 24, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, in the previous verses, Jesus had told them that the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. He said, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, with that information in our minds, the disciples came to him and they said, tell us, when shall these things be? Obviously, they are asking, when will the stones be thrown down that are used in the erection of the temple? When shall the destruction of the temple occur? Now notice they ask him that. And what shall be the sign, singular, the sign of thy coming? Now notice, and of the end of the world. Three questions asked by the disciples. When shall these things happen? And then, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And then, what shall be the sign of the end of the world? I don't think there is much room for misunderstanding. The question is plain, straightforward, forthright. We should not spiritualize it. We should accept the questions as they are literal questions. They're inquiries about the coming of Jesus Christ, the end of the world, and the signs of the times concerning the destruction of the temple. Now Jesus immediately addressed himself to these questions. Notice that he said in verse 4 that they should take heed that no man would deceive them. Now that's the first thing Jesus said. And I think it's important for us to emphasize the things that Jesus said. He said, the first thing I want to emphasize concerning the end of the world, concerning my coming, concerning the beginning of the fulfillment of those things that will signal the end of time, I want you to first of all understand that there are a lot of people who want to deceive you about the second coming, about the end of the world. There are many people who have used the end of the world and the signs and the end time interests of people to their monetary advantage. Many books have been written that have played upon the second coming, taken advantage of the natural curiosity of people concerning the end of the world. Many books have been written, and they have been written for no other purpose than to get money. That's why most of the modern day garbage concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ has been dumped upon an unsuspecting world for money. For money. Most of the films that have been made in regard to the second coming have been done for money. They primarily consist of garbage, spiritual garbage. They're not worth your money. They're not worth your time. I'll show you why. Jesus Christ gives us all the information we will ever have until he comes again. Read it in your Bible. You can buy one for 65 cents. Why spend your money for all of the things the false prophets write about the second coming? If they use the Bible, then you can use the same book and get all the same information. A lot of foolishness for God's people to spend a lot of money to have someone tell them what's going to happen when the Bible already has given them that information. So take heed that no man deceive you. Read the Word of God for yourself and make up your own mind. But don't get involved in the emotional pressure that generally is generated by people who harp upon this theme continually without ever preaching the other truths that are found in the Word of God. That's a word of warning. Now notice what Jesus said in response to these questions. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now that's not hard to understand. It's just a plain, simple statement concerning the fact that people will attempt to deceive the world by proclaiming to be Jesus. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in many, many places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall become cold. But he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved, or delivered is a better word. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm not talking Jesus. I'm reading the words of Jesus. This is not what I think about the second coming. I'm reading what Jesus said in response to three questions. Now let's continue. For then shall come great tribulation. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now notice, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, Jesus gives us two or three particular incidents that he says are just preceding his coming. Now you'll notice that he spoke of the abomination of desolation that is prophesied by Daniel the prophet. Some may think, well, Jesus is speaking to the Gentiles, or rather to the Jews. He is not speaking to Gentiles. But if this is true, why would he have had Paul reveal these facts to the Thessalonians? They are Gentiles and not Jewish. I think there are some aspects of the second coming that are peculiar to the Jewish people. But I think that there is no real separation of the revealed facts concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ that can be made between Jew and Gentile, because they're one in the church in Christ Jesus. Now you'll notice that we have, first of all, the prophecy of the abomination of desolation. What is that? Well, I'll be quite frank with you, I don't know. There are a lot of opinions about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Some say that this prophecy has already come to pass, that it was when the conqueror of Jerusalem in 70 AD offered a sow upon the Jewish altar, that this was the abomination of desolation. Now you'll notice that we are to understand that when the gospels shall be preached as a witness to all nations, then shall the end come. Now, this seems to be peculiar to Israel. Let them that be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not come down, take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Now notice. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Now notice. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Seems that this has perhaps a peculiar application to the nation of Israel, because a flight upon the Sabbath day would be meaningless to you and to me. So perhaps he has now described when these things, they have asked in the first question, when shall these things be? Perhaps he has described them. Now I want you to understand that as far as time is concerned, we don't have to think in times of a year or 6 months in order for the time to be short. A short period of time, as far as God is concerned, may be 500 years. It may be 1,000 years, or it might be 10 days. The Bible tells us of the duration of the time and of the characteristics of the time these people at Thessalonica had knowledge. They had enough knowledge to know this one basic solid fact concerning the second coming of the Son of God, and that is that he comes as a thief in the night. They were to use their times and seasons, and the times and the seasons were to teach them this one great basic fact. That is, Jesus Christ is coming unexpectedly to this world. Now I mean unexpected by the world. According to the book of Thessalonians, the people of God are not to be in darkness. They're not to be surprised by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, like a thief would surprise the inhabitants of a house by robbing them of their goods. Now notice, perhaps you're a better scholar than I am. If you'll turn to the book of Daniel, then you're going to be able to read this prophecy, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. This is the prophecy Jesus is talking about when he speaks of the prophecy of Daniel and the abomination of desolation. Daniel chapter 9 verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah and the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, to be quite frank with you, I'm not able to interpret that verse of scripture to my ultimate satisfaction. It seems to point out the fact that the abomination of desolation will occur in the middle of a covenanted week. Perhaps that week is 7 years. Many Bible scholars think so. Many also believe that this 3.5 year period is in the middle of the week that is determined in the Word of God as the time of great tribulation. If that is so, then the Antichrist, we'll be talking about him in a couple of 3 Sundays, if the Antichrist is the one that that makes the covenant and breaks the covenant in the middle of the week, then we can understand that Jesus is referring to the time when the Antichrist will be revealed, and we understand that Jesus comes prior to that. So this is, these are not wild speculations, but I want you to know I'm not going to tell you that I know all about the second coming. I wish I knew as much as the Thessalonians were implied to have known by the letter of Paul the Apostle. I wish Paul had written everything he'd already taught them in the sequence that he seems to indicate he did, so that I could understand it. There are three theories about the Great Tribulation. One is that Jesus will come just before the Great Tribulation and catch away all of the living saints after he's resurrected all the dead saints. The other theory is that he'll come in the middle of the 7 weeks. The other, that he will come at the end of the 7 weeks. This is what we call pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. But either way you go at it, there must be a span of 7 years. And if I can get within 7 years of the coming of the Son of God, then I think I'll be happy. I think I can get close on that. I'll take the middle of the week tribulation, and I know I won't miss it over 3.5 years one way or the other. Now, you can't fault me for getting that close. If I can tell you within 3.5 years when Jesus Christ is coming, I can do a good job. You'll have to applaud me for it and brag on me for it. Well, you won't have to. You probably won't anyway. But now, let's notice some more of what Jesus said, and now notice in verse 30 or verse 29, immediately after the tribulation. You know, this scripture seems to indicate a post-tribulation rapture. And after I've messed this all up, I'll have Brother Goodwin explain it then one Sunday night, and y'all all come. And I've got 10 other preachers here in the church, not all here today, but all of us working together by the Spirit of God, we ought to work out some kind of good, definite theology so we can have something to go on. Listen, now, I think and I hope and I pray that I'll be able to give you what Paul was trying to teach these people. Now he's told them, you know the duration of time and you know the characteristics of the age. And he's telling them that all of these teach us one thing, and that is that Jesus Christ is coming suddenly to this earth. Now notice what Jesus himself said. He said, behold, I've told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. You know, someone comes and says, you know, Jesus Christ is in a desert place and we ought to all go out and meet him. You know immediately that he is a fraud, that he is a false prophet. And he said, if someone comes to you and say, let us go meet him in the secret chamber, Jesus has come back to this earth and he is in a secret chamber, then don't believe it. Because the Bible, according to the Word of God, teaches us, as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're not going to have to go out to meet him in the desert. We're not going to have to meet him in the secret chamber place. Because when it's time for the Son of God to come, then it will be as a flash of lightning that lights up the countryside. It will happen. It will be over with. The very instant that he comes, it will all be over with. There is no warning. There is no going out to meet him. And Paul said, you know that the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And Jesus emphasizes this. He says, so likewise, learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. Somebody says, well, this fig tree is the rebirth of Israel. It doesn't say that. It doesn't have any reference, direct reference to the birthing of a nation. What Jesus is saying is when you see the fig tree putting out its leaves, you can draw a conclusion. And what conclusion can you draw from the budding of the fig tree? Summer is nigh. Now notice, so likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation, I think this simply means that this, not that particular age group of people, I don't think he's talking about the disciples, the apostles to whom he's talking about. I think he's talking about race. Verily I say unto you, this race shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. That isn't what Paul said the Thessalonians knew either. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now notice how suddenly, how they added the characteristics of the age. You know, we talked about the duration of time. Now the characteristics of the age. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into his ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now in the days of Noah, the primary emphasis is upon the fact that they ignored the preaching and the warning of Noah. People would not get enthused. They would not even respond to the preaching of Noah. They were seduced by their own desire for everything to continue as it always has. They ate and they drank and they married. Nothing wrong with any of those things within themselves. And that's not the condemnation. The condemnation is that they paid no attention to the preaching. They paid no attention to the signs of the times. And they were not knowledgeable until it was too late, when the flood came and took them all away. Now Jesus said that two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. And I think this means that Jesus Christ is coming in rapture, and that there are people who are just going to be keep on going and doing. They're going to be absorbed in making their payments and mowing their yard and sending their kids to school and making a new dress and buying a new suit, and what date they're going to have with whom that next night or that next day, when's the ball game going to be on. People are going to be absorbed in everyday functions and affairs, and they will totally and completely ignore the signs of the times. That's what Jesus means. Then it will occur suddenly, like lightning flashing in the sky, and one will be taken and another left. That's the rapture of God's people, if I understand the scriptures. Again he says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And this is the constant reminder. I have never met in my ministry not one single person whom I believe to have believed in the second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean by that, I do not know of any person that I have ever met who was totally and completely aware, who was completely and totally expecting, who wore the aura that I think God's people ought to wear concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. I have never met that person. And I've never met him when I looked in the mirror. We are eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Listen to your own conversations. Listen to what you talk about. That's what you're talking about, is what's on your heart. Listen to your conversations when you come into this building. Listen to your conversations when you meet one another. You know what you're saying. You know what's on your mind. You know what you're emphasizing. You know what you're talking about. And you know I'm telling you the truth. We pay a rather brief lip service to the revealed fact of the coming of Jesus Christ. But most of it is no deeper than the root of our tongue in our mouth. You just cannot accept this truth down deep inside and not be changed by it. So we rather superficially and intellectually, off the top of our heads, say something about it. We're really not concerned about it. Really not interested in it. In fact, we could really care less about it. When you come to tell the plain, unvarnished truth about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said, brethren, I don't have to write to you. I don't have to send you a letter. You know, I see just a little bit of, maybe just a little bit of discouragement in this. Paul said it's not necessary to write a letter. You people have knowledge. You know, and you know that Jesus Christ is coming as a thief in the night. He says, for when they shall say peace and safety. Now these two words characterize the attitude of the world at the coming of Jesus Christ. The word peace means the feeling of the individual. It means an inward repose and feeling of security. And the word safety has to do with describing the conditions around the individual, and it means unshaken, secure from enemies and danger. No outward evidence to dispute the feeling that everything isn't very well with the world. So the words peace and safety have to do, first of all, with what a man feels in his own heart. Very secure. Things are very well. It's a feeling of well-being that the individual possesses. The other is the fact that the outward events seem to emphasize that everything is quite all right, and adds to this feeling of contentment, and adds to this feeling of repose and security. And Paul says, whenever people are saying peace and safety, then the days of the wrath of God come upon them as the labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And that simply means they come suddenly and they increase in intensity and they continue until the birth. When Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, His coming will mean rapture for His people, resurrection for His people, but for them, the Bible says, they shall not escape. That's the world, the lost world, the unbelieving world. And when the coming of the Son of God occurs, it'll be like pain for a woman who is expecting child. And she will be rendered helpless and will have to simply bear the pain until the child is birthed. those who live in this world, when the Son of God comes, then the end time will have begun, and the pain of suffering upon this earth because God's wrath is poured out upon it will have to be endured. There will be no end until the birth of a new day is come. As lightning, Jesus said. As the days of Noah, Jesus said. As a thief, Paul writes. Over and over again, watch therefore. The Bible tells us, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You know, we ought to know better. We're God's people. We have His Word. We can read it. We have intelligence. And you say, Brother Penn, you just got through saying you didn't understand all about it. I don't have to understand all about it to know that He is coming, that He's coming suddenly, that He's coming at a thief, and that the parables and the words that He has written always encourage us to this one thing. That's watchfulness. Watchfulness. Live your life with an air of expectancy in it. You say, well, it doesn't really make that much difference. That's what Brother Goodwin read of a man who said in his heart, oh, it doesn't really make any difference. The Bible characterizes him as a person who says, my Lord delayeth His coming. And so he began to live like the world. The Bible tells us that he began to take advantage of other people, to smite his fellow servants, to eat and to drink with the drunken. I don't know what this fellow's punishment is, but it's severe. It's severe. We're not supposed to be this kind of people. We're not supposed to be lulled to sleep and trapped by the cares of life. There's something different. There ought to be something drastically, dramatically different about us, that we can have some discernment of the times, that we can see the times and the seasons and read the characteristics of the age. God help us.